Hi, everyone. Today, we are going to be talking about the indoor season returning to the UAE.
And what we know about the imprisoned Palestinian author who has just won the International Prize for Arabic Fiction.
And why Baby Reindeer is taking over the internet.
It's taken over.
It's everywhere.
Hello, this is Culture Bites coming to you from the National News. I am Inas Rifai.
I'm Farah Andrews.
And I'm Man Jalal.
Hi, guys.
Hi, hello.
We're in a room.
Together at the same time.
I know. Even though what we've heard that there might be more storms.
I know.
There might be more storms.
I'm not. Have
maybe
you
we're on? The reason there are storms. The minute we announce we're all going to be together, there's been storm after storm.
Yeah, inclement weather.
We are a storm.
Have you bought, this is going to be the most boring question I ever ask on Culture Bites. Buckle in.
Oh.
Have you bought sandbags?
No.
I genuinely know people that have.
You really?
Oh, really?
I haven't myself. I'm going to stick to towels. Oh.
It must be quite easy to get sandbags, I imagine, here.
Five dirhams.
Just get a bag, just drive out a bit. Just try bag,
there it
back.
Is.
With yeah. some, that's a little side hustle for all the UAE.
That's what Matt's yeah. been doing all morning. Yeah.
It's like selling ice. But that's a good idea. I mean, actually, to be prepared and
no, it is genuinely yeah. a good idea.
I think people
this is
are getting
top tips from Farah Andrews. Yeah. Sandbags.
People are getting a lot more like clued up on how to
yeah. and rain
how
savvy.
I think we escaped it a little bit because of where my flat face is. So I think maybe now I'm resting on this like false. Belief.
I mean, your flat hasn't moved directions, but yeah. the weather might.
The weather.
Uh-oh. Let's not joke about it in case it does become bad.
Yeah.
Inshallah, it won't. Inshallah.
Yeah, hopefully it
won't. Inshallah.
Better be safe than sorry, though. So get your sandbags if you can afford them.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's and nice advice.
That is good advice.
So we have lots on.
We have lots on. But yep, it's coming towards this season where we're preparing for summer a bit more, right?
See, this is it. Everyone's always like, there's no seasons in the UAE. There's no seasons. Hello. Yes, there are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are.
There are.
We have indoor summer. And we have outdoor.
Yeah. We have hot. We have less hot.
Less hot. So we're coming into hot season.
Yeah. You can feel it in the air now. When you walk out, you're like, oh, yeah, there it is. That oven vibe.
I had a significant moment this week that I went out for my morning dog walk. My sunglasses steamed up.
Oh.
I thought, uh-oh.
That's the sign.
This is early.
Here we go.
Summer is coming.
It's the humidity.
I love it.
I don't complain about it. I don't mind it. Because like the UAE is very well equipped with air conditioning everywhere. With, you know, most cars have air conditioning and car parks have air conditioning. So you're okay. You're fine.
Yeah.
You know? I was coming back. When I came back from London last summer, I remember like I was in the lift. And my neighbors who live in Italy, they were coming back from Italy. And they were just so happy to be back. Because even though Italy wasn't as hot as the UAE. The UAE is equipped to deal with heat. So they were like, we have aircon here. We're going to be able to sleep.
This is it. Like going back, Europe is now very difficult to go to in the height of summer because it's so hot and the cities just aren't ready for it.
Nope.
And like, I've probably told this story on here before, but when we went back to Edinburgh last summer and it was a wildly hot day. And apparently every time we go back, it's just very hot. And my boyfriend's not from the UK. And I'll be like, oh, this is very unusual weather. He's like, this has happened every time. What are we doing? And then we got to the flat in Edinburgh, which kind of has a greenhouse vibe with a lot of windows, much like where we are now.
A thick carpet.
What a floor. And it was so hot in there that the thermostat said it was 37 degrees.
Ouch.
Oh, wow.
Inside. It was like, oh, girl, we can't be. And it's impossible. There's no AC, so.
But. And plus the houses over there in the flats, they retain the heat.
Yeah.
Because of the winter. So if you don't have air conditioning,
fully
you're kind
insulated.
Of difficult. Yeah.
We've deviated though.
We've deviated because we actually want to talk about what to do when
what to
it's...
do indoors in the summer. So
what do you do? What is your...
What do I do? I do lots of things. So as you know, I've mentioned before on the podcast, I have two nieces and a nephew over here.
This is what I need tips on because I have children.
Because you have children. So there's lots of things to do. So you can go to all like the fun, like the Kidzania, the IMG. Have you been to Kidzania in Dubai Mall?
Oh, I went to the one in Abu Dhabi.
Oh,
and
very cool.
It's so much fun. Cool. I can't believe it. Like, it's for those of you who don't know.
I was going to say, yeah, like me.
You don't have kids. So imagine like a full town, but all of the shops and things are like kid size.
Oh, is this the place where you see people with children like making pizzas?
Yeah, like what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a chef. So they go to like a pizza place. You want to be a doctor, you go to like a fake hospital and you do stuff. It's very fun.
My heart obviously swelled with joy because my daughter Dahlia, she chose to be a radio presenter.
Oh.
And she was presenting the radio program and read the news.
I thought you were going to say a doctor. I'd be like, you're such a typical Arab. But yeah, radio presenter is great.
No, I'm way more narcissistic.
She decided to be an ass.
So you have that. You have, for example, there's some really cool activities like the Courtyard Playhouse. They have stuff for kids. Like you can do drama classes. You can do like, I think, photography classes. You can do lots of different things there. There's obviously all the galleries and the museums. You can take your kids to the Louvre for a day in Abu Dhabi. There's also SeaWorld. Is that what it's called? SeaWorld. Yeah. Yes.
It's amazing.
It's indoors, I think.
It's fully indoors and it is epic.
Yeah.
It's epic.
There's also stuff like you can do cooking lessons in places like Wagamama does cooking lessons for kids. Italy, you can go and make your own pizza. Yeah, I've taken these kids everywhere.
You are running kids camps, my friend.
I'm a single dad. I'm a single mom who works too hard. No, I'm always taking these kids out in the summer for their parents to have a break. Or you know what? Just do it like we did. You know, sit down at home. Here's some paper. Here's some scissors. Coloring pencils, just do stuff. Like, you know, sometimes it's good to just be bored so you can get that imagination
I like that.
Running.
Like, I'm always saying important. That to my children, which is something my parents said to me, which is like only boring people get bored.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's and true though.
I do think our generation of people who have kids like do too much for their kids. Like I have to give them attention all the time. Like, you know what? Don't compete with the iPad sometimes.
Just download a new app.
It's fine. You know, like just relax, just chill. You need a break. It's tough in summer. But there is lots of stuff to do.
You mentioned the Courtyard Playhouse, which is obviously great for kids, but also for adults because they have a lot of things going on there. But something I really love is they have a affiliation with the National Theatre in the UK. And so they do screenings of like West End shows. So I've seen War Horse there and I've seen the Fleabag One Woman show there. And so just it's like worth kind of keeping an eye on their website to see what the next National Theatre performance is going to be. Obviously, it's not quite the same. Well, it's not the same as being in a theatre and getting like the real immersive experience. But you're getting like a real insight into the West End, like with these great kind of like cinema experiences, a cinema theatre hybrid.
Can I just add one thing? This is so cliche. Like, please do not underestimate the power of malls in the summer. Like, if you think about a Dubai mall, it's a little village. It's a big village.
Yeah,
you can do
town.
Everything. It's a town. You can go to Kinokuniya, spend a whole, you know, hour, 2 hours there with the kids looking at books. You can go watch a movie. You can go have lunch. Mm-hmm. There's play areas. There's, like, a lot of stuff you can do at the malls.
Yeah, to be fair, you can park up for a solid 8 hours there and not even think about leaving.
Yeah. And you can go to Kidzania.
You can go to Kidzania.
And then you're kind of like, it's a bit like Inception, right?
Yeah.
Because you're in a town, in
exactly.
a mall.
Exactly, in a small town. I do think we take the malls for granted. Like, there's no other place in the world that you can do that much stuff in one place. You know what I mean?
You are right.
Yeah. One in Abu Dhabi also has like rock climbing. You can go to Ferrari World. Yeah. It is quite fun.
I have something I really like doing in the summer in this country.
Hit us.
It's going to the swimming pool. If you go early in the morning, you go in the evening, you SPF up enough. It's like I'm becoming too Dubai, too precious because in like a lot of the year, it's too cold to go in the pool. This year has been a genuinely cold winter. The pools aren't heated. I'm not swimming all year round. So like the summer, they're way quieter. Like everyone's gone. I am a big fan of children, but do I want them splashing the book I'm reading? No, of course I don't. So they're away and it's like a quieter pool experience. It's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's
so lots of stuff to do.
Yeah, there's so much to do.
So much to do.
We can give you like a weekly itinerary if that's what you need from us.
Yeah.
Please do. I think
and you can update us throughout the summer.
Yeah, I'm not I'm really excited for the summer actually. Yeah. I'm really excited for it. Yeah.
Are you reading during the summer?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, like genuinely, yeah. That's the time you get the most reading done.
Guys, that was a segue. But yeah, I'm glad that you're reading.
Sorry, I missed you. I was like, yeah, I read books.
I felt like I was at school again. I was like, yeah, yes, sir, I'm going to be reading.
Yeah, I'll do my homework. Seamlessly. Thank you so much.
So talking of reading, the winner of the International Prize for Arabic Fiction was announced a couple of days ago.
Yeah, this week, on Sunday.
Sunday. And it is Basim Khadangchi, and he is a Palestinian author, if you guys have heard of him.
I haven't, to be honest.
I hadn't heard of him until he was nominated for this prize.
That's why prizes are amazing.
Exactly,
right?
They spotlight these. So he was announced as the winner on Sunday. He is in prison, he's in an Israeli prison, and he has been sentenced to 3 life sentences in prison. And he has done, so in his early, he has been in prison since 2004.
Wow.
And he has, so he was a student before, and he has done basically all of his writing as an adult in prison. So the books he's been writing, yeah, he's been he has written from while he's been incarcerated.
So what are his books about?
Man.
Okay, so his novel is called A Mask, The Color of the Sky. And this novel is a bit different from his others. So like all his other novels, he wrote it in prison, but the narrative style of it is different. So it's about a archaeologist who lives in a refugee camp who finds a blue identity card, an Israeli identity card, in an old coat.
Is that normal? Is that what happens in Israel and Palestine?
What, that they have identity cards? Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it's just like here.
Yeah. But I mean, I think it's unusual if you're Palestinian to find an Israeli one.
Yeah.
And so he decides to take on the identity of the person identity card. And the identity cards over there are blue, which is why the novel is called A Mask, The Color of the Sky. So the card looks like the sky. And so he takes on this identity, and then a whole bunch of stuff starts to happen. And he sort of, because of the way the novel is written, it explores 3 different parts of the self. So like who you are, who you want to be, who you think you are. And it kind of delves into those things while interweaving the history of Palestine, the history of a particular village in Palestine and what's happening. So it's a very experimental novel that really goes into ideas of identity and the self.
That's really interesting. I mean, such a poignant time as well to have somebody like him win the award, right?
Yeah.
So the book is written in Arabic, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. And a really significant thing about the prize is, so he wins a $50,000 prize pot. That's
quite nice.
Prize. Mm. But also an extra, there's a part of the prize is that money will be allotted to the translation of the book, which is so significant because that obviously there's a very primary readership in Arabic for this novel, but translation opens up an entirely new audience for this work.
That's incredible. So it hasn't yet been translated then?
No, into English, no.
Have you ever read a book in Arabic?
Yes, but it takes me a very long time.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. But I just wanted to read you guys what the judge, Nabil Suleiman, the chair of the 2024 judges panel, said about the novel. A Mask, The Color of the Sky fuses the personal with the political in innovative ways. It ventures into experimenting with new narrative forms to explore 3 types of consciousness, that of the self, the other, and the world. It dissects a complex, bitter reality of family, fragmentation, displacement, genocide, and racism. So that's just a bit of what they said about what the novel's about. And I really think it's really interesting when you read a book that delves into all these things from the perspective of one person and their personal journey through it. So I'm assuming, I haven't read the book, obviously, that he's seeing the world as an Israeli now because he has this Israeli identity card and comparing it to his life as a refugee. So it sounds like a very powerful book.
It sounds really interesting. I'm going to wait for it to come out in English.
Yes.
If that's going to be... Do we think it's only going to be translated into one language, or will we be going to loads now?
Well, I don't know. But it's often what happens is books are translated into English, and that kind of opens the door to further translation. But I don't know. It will be translated into English, though.
So we know that he wrote this story in prison, but do we know why he's in prison?
Yeah, so he's in Israeli prison. He's been there since 2004. When he was convicted of terrorism charges for allegedly having a role in the planning of a bombing at a market.
Ah, okay.
3 people died in the explosion.
In Tel Aviv.
So he's serving 3 life sentences.
Okay.
He's written multiple poetry anthologies and 3 novels.
Yeah.
So he's also written The Breath of a Woman Let Down and The Eclipse of Badr al-Din. And Badr al-Din's a famous character, right? Yeah.
But this novel particularly, it's like a step away from his usual style. And it's sort of the next, people are saying it's like the next phase of his writing style, the next phase of his career. And the fact that he's getting so much attention because of the prize shows that it's probably going to get translated and going to get him more, he'll have a bigger name after it. So I'm interested to read it just to see this about this experimental style.
Mm. Yeah. I think it's just really interesting. Like any of those, I mean, I'm not going to say Freaky Friday, but any of those things where you're taking
where
yourself.
Where are you going?
Lindsay again?
Where is this going? Away from her. But like going into somebody else's shoes, right? Yes. It's like a classic way of exploring empathy. Or like understanding of somebody else. And I think with Israel and Palestine, I can imagine this is like a really poignant way of looking at the situation. Yeah. So I'm really excited to read it, but I am going to wait for it to come out in English.
Yeah.
just because it'll take. You're going to have to. But so I'm hoping, I hope it comes out soon. It'll be exciting. Yeah.
And we don't get many Palestinian novels, or as many as we should. Like, we get a lot of Palestinian novels about Palestinian people in diaspora, mm-hmm. having left Palestine, over the past couple of years. But we don't have many about people living in Palestine that are getting this much international attention. So I'm interested to read that for that reason.
Yeah. And that kind of moves on to like another Arab figure who's come into the spotlight this week, which is
significant news for her. Yeah.
Huge news for the Lebanese filmmaker Nadine Labaki. Am I saying that right?
Yeah. Nadine Labaki. Yeah.
Great. She's actually one of my favorite directors.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Did you see Caramel?
Yes, I love it. It's a great film.
Have you seen it?
I've not seen Caramel, but I've seen Capernaum.
That was the one that was nominated.
Oscar nominated. Yeah, a couple of years ago. Big buzz.
That was traumatic.
Yeah.
And I think there's her other one, Where Do We Go From Here? Or Where Are We?
Yeah.
Yes, about the two villages, the Christian village and
and the Muslim village. Yeah. I really found that really fun because it was a kind of a comedy and a take on kind of like multiculturalism, right? Or like, different religions coexisting. But anyway, she's the Oscar nominated filmmaker, as we've said, who's been selected as a jury member at the 77th Cannes Film Festival. This is 6 years after she became the first Arab woman to win a major prize.
Yes,
so I think this is really, really big. And it's really nice to see, I think, like somebody like her taking a center stage in filmmaking, because she does tackle really difficult stories and she somehow manages to make them artistic, fun, and entertaining.
And universal. People get them for whoever they are. And what's interesting about her is that she's also like, she's been political. I think she's ran for office at some point in Lebanon for something. I can't remember particularly. But she's very politically, socially aware. But then when you watch her films, like you say, there's always this layer of whether it's comedy or it's very personal. So it's not, again, like banging the head of the audience with like very strong political messages or social messages. She knows how to craft a story and use narrative to seep in the, or weave those messages within the personal stories of her characters. So that's why I really enjoy it, because I'm going in there, I don't feel like I'm being told this is wrong, this is right.
It's a human story first and foremost.
Yeah.
And she also acts.
She also acts.
In a lot of her stuff.
In Caramel. She's one of the stars in Caramel.
I think we're going to have a lot to talk about Cannes in the next few weeks. It kicks off on May 14th and it runs until May 25th. So it's a long one. And there's an awful lot of films from the region that are being shown at Cannes. So there's a lot to talk about. And we always also see a lot of... Nadine Labaki is like very significant and she's on the jury. But there'll be a lot of regional personalities, names, actors, directors on the red carpet. So it'll be big.
It's really exciting because there's definitely more funding, I feel, like floating around the region to get these kind of stories out. So it's great that places like Cannes are really like recognizing that and like
giving
celebrating
them a platform.
It.
Yeah. So what have you guys been watching?
Yeah, so let's go global. Let's go global.
So I think...
Everyone's talking about
it. It's an elephant in the room.
Yes.
You're basically living under a rock. If you haven't heard of Baby Reindeer.
This is pointed at you, man.
Yes, it's pointed at me.
Your refusal to watch it is keeping you under that rock.
Yeah. I can't. With dark stories like that, especially when they do with like stalkers and stuff like that, I just get a bit like, ugh. So, and everyone says it's just, I mean, you guys have seen it.
Rewind a sec. We haven't spoken really about, like, so Baby Reindeer.
Yeah.
Everyone, I'm assuming, has watched it or has heard of it. But for anyone who hasn't, you have finished it. Give us the lowdown.
So it's based on a true story. Mm-hmm. It's a true story about a kind of failing comedian in London who works behind a bar. He gives a woman a cup of tea for free one day. And that's the kind of like the jolt in this like series of interactions that he has with this woman who turns out to be a stalker.
No good deed goes unpunished.
Ouch.
That isn't what you really think.
Oh no. I mean, but it's a good saying.
Yeah, it's a good saying.
I mean, after watching this film, you are a bit like, oh God, maybe I shouldn't be too kind to people. Yeah. But no, I'm not gonna have that attitude in life.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
Yeah.
But yeah. So the story is primarily about like her being kind of obsessed with this guy who gave
her obsessed with this guy, and this then kind of like has a knock-on effect throughout his life for lots and lots of different reasons and ways, but it also makes him kind of reflect upon how he's ended up being this kind of failed comedian in a bar.
So it's introspective as well.
It's very introspective. It's very clever. I think at the very beginning when I first started watching it, I was like, okay, this is like a quirky story about a stalker. Fun. And then by the end, you're like, trauma.
Wow. In the first episode, I was like, this is the most uncomfortable I've ever been because neither of them are making good decisions. I'm like, everything I'm watching is uncomfortable.
I get that. I just was like, quirky. Maybe I had a bad reaction to it.
You know, I think people who enjoy the show are the people who like watching those crazy crime documentaries and stuff like that. Are you guys? I know you are. So I'm like, it's that type of thing, and those things freak me out. And my friend that's obsessed with that, she's like, you have to watch Baby Reindeer. I'm like, I'll watch Baby Reindeer when you watch Three Body Problem, the new sci-fi thing. So she's like, and she doesn't like sci-fi, so she's watched it, she binged it. So now I have to.
You have to watch Baby Reindeer.
Yeah, so I have to watch at least
maybe one. Maybe we should have an update next week. Can you put it in your calendar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will watch one episode, but if it's too dark, I'll...
The first episode isn't too dark. It'll trick you.
Okay.
That's what I mean. It starts off kind of quirky. So even though it's quite a dark story, and I don't think we should spoil it for people who haven't watched it.
No, definitely not.
But even though it's quite a dark story, I think it's like starts in this kind of like quirky way where you're just like, okay, am I reading this right? But I think what he has done, the comedian who we should say, his name's Richard Gadd, and he plays the character Donnie.
So it's autobiographical and it's about he's the writer and actor.
Mm-hmm. And he's been very, very clear. So obviously, I don't think anyone was expecting it to be such a hit. It's been a hit throughout global Netflix, all over the world. However, it has meant that because some of the characters in this portrayal are based on real people. Mm-hmm. It has meant that there's this new discussion now that's happening because the internet has done what it does and has found the real life people. And this is like a much deeper discussion because if you are going to tell stories, which I think we all have a right to our own stories and we all have a right to tell our story from our perspective. But what it is doing, I think a lot of journalists and script writers and people behind the scenes are now reassessing actually, we're living in an age where people aren't maybe that anonymous. And so if you
there
have
There is
done,
no anonymity.
It feels like there's no anonymity anymore, which is a bit of a shame. So now this man's story has come into like the spotlight and the characters in the story have also now been found by the internet. And there's a bigger discussion now to be had over who owns your story and what rights do people have. And it's kind of sad because I think, you know, often the case, people who have stalked are people who are suffering with some sort of mental illness, okay? Mm. So I think that the fact that the internet did not take a beat and think maybe we shouldn't stalk this person back is kind of upsetting for me, especially because I think like we all enjoy the shows, but we don't really need to, you know, harass people online.
There are definitely like the show is written from Richard Gadd's perspective. It is very much, and that's very clear in the narrative. But I haven't finished it yet, so you tell me if this is like a wrong read from the kind of first half of the show. But there's also kind of he is the victim, but I would also say that he is a victim. He's not the only victim in the show. It's not a clean cut narrative in that sense at all in where I am at the moment.
No, I think that's true. And I think that's true of life. Yeah. And I think that's what makes this really interesting.
It's not black and white.
Exactly. I think this idea of like good, evil characters is so boring. Yeah. It's tiresome and it doesn't reflect reality. I think good people have got the ability to make bad decisions and bad choices. Not me, obviously, because I'm perfect.
I think one thing we should say about the show is that it's dark, I think that's come across, and that there are episodes with trigger warnings, so it's not for everyone, but it is
something that we enjoy watching. Interesting in a bigger sense thing is that why are we as a community, as a society, so interested in dark crime or stories that are very dark with these like characters that are a little bit scary and you know, don't want to sound like whatever. But, you know, a couple of years ago, I interviewed Ian Rankin. You know the novelist Ian
Rankin? Yes, he's brilliant. He's
amazing. And he's written so many crime novels. And I asked him this very same question. Like, why are we so fascinated by the dark parts of society? And he was like, it intrigues us because most of us are, you know, inherently good people. And we can't fathom when these dark things happen. And we want to understand why. Because all of us have a little bit of, like what you're saying, a little bit of dark, a little bit of light inside us. And so when there's something so dark and so scary, we're kind of intrigued. It's kind of like when you're driving and you see a car accident. You can't help but look, even though you know it's going to scare you. So it's kind of that. You kind of intrigued, like, how bad can we be? How dark can things go? It's something very strange about the human psyche that intrigues us, you know, that we want to watch.
I feel like Ian just answered the question you asked us.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I have anything much more profound to add than Ian.
Yeah. That was basically it. Exactly. Yeah. I think, yeah, of course, it's interesting, right? Because it's a bit of fun. It goes back to fairy tales. We just to
and they
imagine.
Are dark.
It's always dark. It's more interesting to know the darkness. Like Cruella de Vil is
the
center
of the villains.
Character.
Yeah. I still maintain that Ursula is the star of The Little Mermaid and Ariel is annoying.
Yeah, it certainly isn't Ariel.
And Gaston is a very misunderstood man from Beauty and the Beast. That's just my take.
Oh my God, my brother cried when Gaston falls from the building.
Oh, really?
As a kid. And I just remember thinking,
I thought as an adult, really? I was like, oh, interesting.
No.
This is a recent watch.
As a child. Yeah. So thank you everybody for listening. That's it from today. Please be sure to like and subscribe and listen to more.
You've just run away with yourself.
I did, yeah. Should we do that again?
just took over everything.
And I've got nothing to say.
Okay. That's it for today. Thank you so much for joining us.
And if you like this episode, please follow and subscribe on your favorite podcasting app.
And don't forget to tell your friends and your family, and don't forget to follow us on Instagram.
We don't have an Instagram.
I mean, the National. The National on Instagram.